Okay, Parsha Shlach. Parsha Shlach is primarily deals with the episode of the spies. I was having a chance, I was looking last night online. This is our fourth shir on Parsha Shlach already, this series. So we've done three different ones on this episode of the spies. So we're going to continuously just find the different nuances and niches within the aspect of the story to study. So what I want to study this afternoon is the response of the people. So we're going to join a little bit into the middle of the story. We will eventually get back and fill in some of the other aspects. I, of course, expect all of you to remember the previous three classes that we've given on this story, so you're all well-versed and remember all of the other aspects of the episode. But the part that we will start is the response of the people. We'll study a couple of verses. We'll go back to Devarim. This episode of the spies is recorded in two separate places in the Torah. One is in this week's Parsha, and Parsha Shlach, as the episode actually takes place. And then it's repeated in short in the beginning of Sefer Devarim. When Moshe gives one of his final speeches to the people, he recounts this episode after 40 years. And he goes back and he says, remember, the reason why it's taken 40 years for us to get into the land of Israel is because of the episode of the spies which took place. And then he recounts the story. And he adds details there that we don't necessarily have here, and he says it in a perspective that's not necessarily presented here. And that's also one of the things we spent in the previous years as well, and we'll touch on that again this year, is comparing the two episodes, the way that it's recorded in the Torah here as it takes place, versus the way that Moshe records the episode 40 years from now, at the end of their journey in the desert. We will do that as well. So let's start in the middle of the story, and then we'll go back and fill in some of the other aspects. So the middle of the story begins in chapter 14, Perek Yud Dalet, on page 802. I have mentioned many times in this class that the chapter headings are Christian in nature. They are not Jewish. Perek, this chapter versus that chapter. The Christian editors, when they printed the first Bibles, as they would call it, actually broke down the Chumash into its component parts. And you'll notice very often they don't necessarily fit with the way that we would have done that based on our understanding of the Chumash. They have made their way in and we use them. It just happens to be that that's where I want to start. I want to start from the people's response. And you'll notice that's where chapter 14 begins. Right? If you'll notice on the right-hand side of the page, exactly, that's exactly what I wanted to say, exactly as Dina recognized, on the right-hand side of the page in the Chumash text, there is no break, there is no space of paragraphs, there is nothing there at all. It's one continuous story. It just happens to be the spies give their report and then the people respond. In the English, you have a whole new paragraph and you have a whole beginning of chapter 14 when the people actually respond. But we're literally in the middle of the story, but we are going to start from the people's response. So in brief, and again, we'll get down to this in a second, the people return, they produce their fruits, which they came back, and they said, yes, the land flows with milk and honey. I'm on the very top of the page, but the people that dwell there are very powerful, and the cities are very fortified. Amalek lives there, and the Chiti, and the Yavusi, they list all of the people that live there. Kalev, one of the two, together with Yehoshua, of the positive spies, silences the people towards Moshe and says, but we can do it, we will surely ascend and conquer it. But the men who had ascended with them said, we cannot ascend to that people, for it is too strong for us. And they brought forth to the children of Israel an evil report on the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have passed to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants. The people we saw in it were huge. There we saw the Nephilim, the sons of the giant from amongst the Nephilim. We were like grasshoppers, and so were we in their eyes. That's very just brief, quickly reading. That's the report that they have. We will break that down a little bit more. There's much to talk about exactly in terms of what they said. But that's where we're up to. They have come back, and they have given their report. Okay, let's start from chapter, verse 1. Pasuk Aleph and Perek Yedaled. Vatisa kol ho'edah vayitnu es koilom. The entire assembly raised up and issued its voice. Vayivku ha'om balayla ha'hu, and the people wept that night. So what jumps out at you in this verse?
Well, what jumped out at me was that it was the entire assembly.
Okay, excellent. The first thing the Torah seems to be stating, that this now, there were only 12 Jews, 12 leaders who went out to actually spy and who came back and returned with their report. But now the response of the people is a Vayivku Kol Ho'edah. The entire assembly of the people are now raising up their voice and crying. Okay, what else do we have? What else is of interest? Excellent. When are they crying?
At night.
It's an interesting detail that I wouldn't necessarily thought which should be here. Like, what difference does it make if they cried during the day, if they cried at night? When did the spies come back? Did they come back at night? Why are they crying at night? Vayivku balayla hahu. It was that night that they cried. What would you thought? What could we have said just as easily?
They cried.
Does it matter what time it was outside when they cried? I wouldn't think so. I mean, who cares if it was 6 o'clock at night, if it was 8 o'clock at night, if it was 6 o'clock in the morning? It wouldn't seem to be a relevant piece of information what time of day it was when they cried. The Torah tells us they raised up their voice and they cried that night. Hold off on that thought for 1 second. Let's read Pasuk Beis. Vayilonu al Moshe ve'al Aharon kol b'nei Yisrael. And the children of Israel murmured, Vayilonu. They had murmurings against Moshe and on Aaron. Vayomru aleihem kol ha'edah lumasnu be'eretz Mitzrayim o ba'midbar hazeh lu masnu. And they said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Comments on this pasuk?
Well, why are they addressing emotion and arm? It should be, you know, murmuring of honest thoughts.
Okay, so so they murmured, they're not murmuring against the spies, they're murmuring against Moshe and Aaron. So what does that tell us? Who, in their eyes, who are the bad guys here? Right? In other words, the spies coming back with their report is an accepted report. That's something which is valid. Whatever they said, they went with. And therefore, the object of their problem is Moshe and Aharon for bringing them here, not against the spies for saying what it is that they said. That's for sure what seems to come out from the fact that their murmuring is against Moshe and Aharon. What else is of note in this pasuk? Who's the one who?
I'm noticing that it says the children of Israel murmured against them. Previously, we talked about the entire assembly, which also included the Arab rising.
Okay, good. And we have the entire assembly again. In the second pasuk, we have two phrases. We have all the children of Israel murmured against Moshe and Aharon, and then again, and the entire assembly said to them, "If only we had died."
Why does it say the children?
Okay, that's an excellent question, which I'm going to tell you right now I don't have an answer for, but it's a good ha'orah, it's a nice insight that we have in verse 1, the phrase that's used is the entire assembly. Then we say, the children of Israel murmured, and then we go back and we say, the entire assembly. That's an interesting point. I don't have anything to say right now. I'll have to look at sometimes, maybe somebody says something. I certainly didn't see anybody who commented on that, but I wasn't looking for that specifically, so it could be it's there. And we'll see if we find anything. But what is of note, what I did notice, is a constant stress as to who's doing the talking. It is the entirety of the group. It is the entirety of the assembly. It is all the children of Israel. Three times we've had that phrase in this first two verses. The entire assembly raised up and issued its voice. The children of Israel, all the children of Israel murmured. The entire assembly said, it would have been better for us to have died. So we certainly are having a stress about it being all of them. That for sure seems to has come up. Okay, one more verse, then we'll go back a little bit. Verse 3, Pasuk Gimel. Now what, again, just to finish up in verse 2, what did they want to do instead? They only wanted to have died either in the land of Egypt or if they had died in the wilderness, Pasuk Gimel. V'loma ha'shemevi osonu el ha'oret hazos linpol b'cherev nashenu v'tapenu yihiyu lovoz. Hello, Toiv Lanu Shuv Mitzrayma. Why is Hashem bringing us to this land to die by the sword? Our wives and young children will be taken captive. Is it not better for us to return to Egypt? So, what's their claim? Who are they speaking to still, the people?
Moshe and Aaron.
They're still speaking to Moshe and Aaron. And what's their now claim to Moshe and Aaron? Why did he bring us here to die? What's their complaint against Moshe and Aaron? What is it about the land that they're afraid of?
Well, now it appears that they're afraid for their wives and children. And I'm beginning to have a little sympathy for them, that the men are concerned that the wives and children are going to be taken captive by the people there.
Okay, good.
And that's a good thing to be afraid
of. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly an appropriate thing for them to be concerned with. Now, we'll have to get into whether or not it was appropriate or not appropriate for them to be afraid of it, but what they're afraid of was fair. But let's break that down. What were they, in other words, we could have said, and this is going to be a very important point, if I would have opened up this class and said, the people do not want to go to the land, what is it about the land that they do not want to continue forward with? What is it that's bothering them? We could have come up with a couple of things.
They're going to find some giants.
They're going to find some giants. What else were some of the things that have been said that might them not want to go?
They were famous giants.
I mean, that's all
along the cities, fortified cities.
Fortified cities. What about the land itself?
Kills.
So many people were dying there. Mm-hmm.
Great. The land eats its inhabitants. Mm-hmm. The land is not a place we want to go to. The land is no good. What are the people concerned with? When the people come to Moshe and Aaron and they say, it would have been better for us to die in Egypt. It would be better for us to have died in the desert. Why are you taking us here? What is their concern? They're going to die. How are they going to die?
The land devours.
That's not what they say. That's exactly my point. How? What are they afraid of? How are they going to die?
By the sword.
By the sword. Look at their words. Why is Hashem bringing us to this land to die by the sword? What's the people's concern? Are they saying, you mean you took us out of Egypt to bring us to this? It's barren. It's a wasteland. We can't earn a living. It's a land that eats its inhabitants. That's not what their concern is. Their concern is,
we're going to lose a fight.
We're going to lose a fight. Mm-hmm. We're going to die by the sword. Our wives and young children will be taken captive. Is it not better for us to return to Egypt? They lodge no complaint against the land itself. They lodge no complaint that they're not going to be able to have what to eat or to earn a living, or that it's a bad place to be. Their concern is, we will die by the sword. Our wives and children will be taken captive. It would be better for us in Egypt. At least there we didn't die. Yeah? So they said to one another, last verse, and we'll go back and tie up some issues here. So they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and let us return to Egypt. The ultimate insult, they then say, we need a new leader because Moshe and Aaron are clearly bringing us that way, and that way is certain death. We need to appoint a leader who will take us this way and bring us back to Mitzrayim. Okay, this is the response of the people. So in summary, what would we have as far as response of the people? We have number one, they wept that night. We commented, why is the Torah telling us the time of the day when they cried? That would seem to be an unnecessary or irrelevant piece of information. The first thing they do is they raise up and issue its voice and they cry. And then they murmur against Moshe and Aharon, saying, we should have died. It would be better for us to have died in the desert, because where you are taking us, we will die by the sword, and our women and children will be taken captive. Let us, then they said to one another, let us appoint a new leader and head back to Mitzrayim. That's the response of the people to the report of the spies. Which is basically all that we'll get a little bit more later, we'll see if we can get to it today, but that's their basic opening response. Interesting, no? Now, I don't guess, I wouldn't ask, what would we have thought of this story? It's always interesting when we know the story, but when you actually read it inside exactly as to what their response is, this is what the Torah tells us in these four verses, is the response of the people to the report of the spies. Now, there are a number of interesting comments which we've made, and some that the Rabbanan is going to make as well, so let's get started. Okay, says the Ramban, number one, A comment that is often quoted Tisha B'Av time, the sages point out from the phrase of Balayla Hahu, that they cried that night. The sages noted that was an extraneous and unnecessary piece of information. So the sages say, you cried a Bechiyah Shel Chinam, you cried a purposeless tear on that night, because I promised you that I'll take you into the land, I promised you that it would be good, and you cried on that night, I'll give you what to cry about on that night. And then that night became the night of Tisha B'Av. This night, the night that they cried, was the night of the ninth of Av, the ninth day of the month of the Hebrew month of Av, which was the night, of course, which both Botei HaMikdash, both the Beis HaMikdash, Holy Temple, were destroyed. Both the first and the second were destroyed during this time. And the sages connected it to the fact that you cried a tear for no reason on this night. You will have what to cry about in future years on this night, and this was the night of tears, this was the night in which the temple was destroyed. I want to talk about as far as that connection, but I don't want to address that so much today. The Ramban, as far as Pshat goes, simple enough, that's the sages seeing in the extra phrase that they cried at night, there was a connection to another night, or nights which would have tears, those being the nights of the destruction of the temples. As far as simple Pshat goes, the Ramban says as follows. Kilo eis erev bo'u hamiraglim be'oholehem ka'asher holku milifnei Moshe. When the spies came back, where did they come back to first? Who did they report to?
Yeah.
To who? Any reason?
To the whole people. They didn't go to Moshe and Aaron.
See, this is what happens when you start in the middle of a story, which I did. I led you astray. Flip back a page to page 25. Verse 25, excuse me. Page 800, 801, verse 25. This is now, you see the paragraph from verse 21 through 24 is the actual spying out of the land. Verse 21, they ascended and spied out the land. And then they returned in verse 25. Where do they come back to? They returned from spying out the land at the end of the 40 days. They went and came to Moshe and to Aaron and to the entire assembly of the children of Israel to the wilderness of Bangladesh, and they brought back the report to them and the entire assembly, and they showed them the fruit of the land. They reported to him and said, who's him? You'd have to assume so, right? They reported to him and said, we arrived at the land to which you sent us, and indeed it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. But the people that dwells in the land is powerful, and the cities are very greatly fortified, and we also saw there the offspring of the giant and Amalek, and they go through. Kalev then silences the people toward Moshe, and says, we shall surely ascend and conquer it. But the men who had ascended with him said, no, we cannot ascend to that people, for it is too strong. They brought forth to the children of Israel an evil report on the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have passed has spied out is the land that devours its inhabitants. So there seems to be, as they're progressing, the first thing that they say, they reported to him, and they said, we got to the land, and indeed it flows with milk and honey. When they say it's a land which devours its inhabitants, that's the first time that it says they brought forth to the children of Israel an evil report to the land. That's a little bit later in their story, when they bring out an evil report to the people, and they say the land devours its inhabitants. The first thing they said, which is in the presence of Moshe and Aharon clearly, they say indeed the land flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. The Ramban learns a very interesting thing as to what happened as he goes through these verses. Says the Ramban, Lo eis erev bo'u hamiraglim ve'oholehem ka'asher holku milifnei Moshe. The people first came to Moshe and Aaron, the spies, and they gave forth their report. And then afterwards, as the day drew on towards night, they then went to the tents of the people, the local people, after they left from before Moshe. Uva boker, and in the morning, hishkimu vayalinu kulom al Moshe v'al Aharon. It was then the following morning that the people then all came and murmured against Moshe and Aaron and said to him, it would have been better for us to have died. So that the Ramban, well, I'll show you inside the verses how he reads this as follows. What took place was the spies came back, they gathered everybody together, and before Moshe and Aaron gave a certain report. Then they went to the tents of the people and started a murmuring. At night, the people cried. Why did they not cry during the day when the people first came back? Because they must have heard something new at night that they hadn't heard during the day. And then the following morning, the people come before Moshe with their complaints of why is it that we didn't die. Says the Ramban, that's the language of Vatiragnu Be'ohalechem. Where am I getting this from? Says Ramban, let's flip to Sefer Devarim. You can flip it on page 944. Moshe gives a very brief description of this entire episode. Let's read it quickly, just in English, starting in verse 22. All of you approached me and said, let us send men ahead of us, and let them spy out the land and bring back word to us, the road on which we should ascend and the city to which we should come. People suggest the spies, says Moshe, verse 23. The idea was good in my eyes. No problem. I thought it was a fine idea. So I took from you 12 men, one man from each tribe. They turned and ascended the mountain, came into the valley of Eshkol and spied it out. They took in it their hands, the fruit of the land, and brought it back to us. And now they brought back word to us and said, good is the land that Hashem, our God, gives us. Now we're going to get back to this phrase in a moment. According to Moshe here, what do the spies, when Moshe recounts the story 40 years later, and he's now saying to the children of the generation that has now died out, and he says, the spies came back. What does Moshe say they reported? All they said was,
the land's good.
The land is good. Nothing else. Moshe does not report to them, as he recounts this story, anything other than, good is the land that Hashem has promised us. Strange, huh? That's not what we have here. We have here a whole speech, which we just read very quickly, but a whole dialogue about the giants, and we can't take it, and this, it eats up its inhabitants. And what does Moshe report? They said it was good. 26, but you did not wish to ascend. Moshe is now reporting. They said it was good, and you did not wish to ascend. And you rebelled against the word of Hashem your God. You slandered in your tents and said, because of Hashem's hatred for us, did He take us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorite to destroy us? To where shall we ascend? Our brothers have melted our hearts, saying, a people greater and taller than we, cities great and fortified, children have we seen there. Says the Ramban, verse 27 is his key. You slandered in your tents and said, where is he getting that from? What do you mean you slandered in your tents? Says the Ramban, where did the people cry? Or I should say, when does the Torah tell us the people cried?
At night.
At night. Why is it significant that the Torah told us the time of day that they cried? Because it's important that they cried at night. Because where are they at night? That's right. Says the Ramban, a fascinating approach. We're going to see this in the next Ramban as well. The spies came back. I'm back on page 799 in our parasha. They came back, and what did they say in verse 27? They reported to him and they said, we arrived at the land to which you sent us, and indeed it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. And the people are very strong. That's all they said in front of Moshe and in Aharon, says the Ramban. All that they said is that the land is good. As Moshe reports 40 years later, they said it was good. But you slandered in your tents. That, says the Ramban, is verse 32. They brought forth to the children of Israel an evil report on the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have passed to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. When did the spies say that? When did they say that the land was no good? That they said later at night in the tent. They went around. Right, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That is the problem, says the Ramban. Says the Ramban, why is it at night? Why is the Torah stressing night? Because it was at night time when the spies went around to the tents of the people. And it was in the morning that the people then all arose against Moshe and Aaron with their complaints. And that's why Moshe says 40 years later, Vateragnu be'ohaleihem, you slandered in your tents. Ki be'ohaleihem hoyu oimrim divrei niragin. Because it was in their tents that the slander started, that the speaking of the people started yapping with each other. And that's where the problem was. And that's the pasuk that the in Tehillim when the in David HaMelech recounts this in the Psalms, Vayimosu ba'aretz chemda, you rejected the beautiful land, Veloha aminu lidvaro, you did not believe in Hashem's word that He was going to take you there, Vayarognu be'ohaleihem, and you slandered in your tents. There is this concept of it being in the tents. Now, says the Ramban, and where's the hint, the second hint that he sees this? Because what do the people complain against when they come to Moshe? Do they say that the land was no good? Or do they say that the people are going to kill us? So what did they say? The people are going to kill us. What did they hear from the Meraglim additionally that they didn't hear, that Moshe did not hear himself? Which phrase only creeps up later in their report, in verse 31 and 32? The evil report on the land was that it devours its inhabitants. Listen to the Ramban, this is not getting too confused. Listen to how the Ramban puts this all together. Says the Ramban, their issue was that they were going to be killed by the sword and that their families were going to be taken by captives. V'lo yazkiru dibas ha'aretz. But the slander against the land, the people themselves do not say that when they approach Moshe and Aaron. They do not say it's a land which it devours its inhabitants. Ki yastiru ha'am hadavar hazem mimoshe. The people hid that complaint from Moshe. They only complained against, we're going to be killed. They didn't say the land was bad. Bipnei shelo omru hashluchim kain beheshivim davrei lo v'yal kol ho'eda. Because the spies themselves also hid that from Moshe. The spies didn't say it was a bad land. The spies only said the cities were fortified and they're great, but look, these are big fruits. It was later when they were motzing the tents of the people that they said it was a land which devours its inhabitants. Ki Moshe va'aharon ya'idu bam ki sheker dibru. Had you said that in front of Moshe and Aaron, had you said it's a land which devours its inhabitants, in front of Moshe, what would Moshe and Aaron have responded? Sheker v'chazov, it's a lie, it's not true. V'amraglim asma mistiru zemi Moshe midaitim. That's why the spies themselves hid this from Moshe. Shehu yoideya in yonei ha'aretz mi Mitzrayim u'mi Midyan ha'shcheinim lo. Moshe knew very well the nature of the land. He knew it from his time in Egypt. He knew it from his neighbors in Midyan. They knew about the nature of the land. Had the spies come to Moshe and their report would have included that the land itself was bad, Moshe would have just rejected the whole thing outright. They would have been able to say the whole thing is not true. Al kein hayu oimrim hadover hazos la'am ve'oholeihem v'derech so. That's why the Meraglim said it only to the people at night in their tents in secrecy. Because to Moshe and Aaron, you wouldn't have gotten away with that claim. And you see this, says the Ramban, you see this in the way that Moshe recounts this. When you flip back again, I hope you have your finger on the page, on page 945, when Moshe says, the idea was good in my eyes, so I took the 12 men. They brought back word in verse 25, and they said to us, good is the land that Hashem, our God, gives us. That's all that Moshe recounts. Now Rashi here argues on the Ramban. Rashi here in verse 25 says, good is the land that Hashem said. Who said this? Rashi says, oh, this is only referring to Kalev and to Yehoshua. Mm. When Moshe says this phrase, good is the land, but Rashi's bothered by the question. That's not what they said. They said all sorts of other things. They said it's fortified. They said it devours its inhabitants. We can't take it. Why is Moshe saying that what they said was good? So Rashi says, no, Moshe is saying, two of the ten said it was good, and you should have listened to them. The Ramban says, no. Moshe actually only heard that report. Moshe heard from all 12 spies, it's good. But then they went back to your tents at night. And then they started slandering. And then they started saying it devours its inhabitants. And at night you cried. At night in your tent you started murmuring with each other. And there's where the problem started. Because when you have that going on at night, and you have the slander, and you have the hysteria that can arise at night in the tents, people just talking amongst themselves, that's where the problem was. But Moshe himself actually only heard that the land was good. It was at night that they began to report the other things, and that's why Moshe says, you did not wish to ascend and rebelled against the word of Hashem. Because if their complaint is, we can't take it, it's too strong for us, that's where Moshe says we have a problem. Because the ha'amoru es pi Hashem, you rebelled against Hashem, kishelo rotzu la'alof, v'yesh b'Hashem la'azor la'achshil. You're saying that you can't, they're too strong, you're going to die by the sword. Who do you think is going to take you into this land? You think it's your own actions that's going to take you in? Was it your own actions that brought you out of Egypt? Like, we're traveling with Hashem at this point. If your only complaint that you can lodge is that we're going to be killed by the sword, then it's a problem of you're not believing in Hashem, who has the ability to take you in. Ki acharei she'ein ha'minia mikulam rak mitoike fa'am. If all that you're saying is the reason why you can't go in is the strength of the people, hayo lahem liftoyach b'shem Hashem ki l'Hashem ha'melchama, then that is the person with whom you should have believed. So in Moshe's perspective, the problem, the complaint that they're lodging is, we're going to die. The people are too strong, we can't take him. To that Moshe says, that's just an open rebellion against Hashem, because who's the one who's going to fight this battle? It's not you. What do you mean they're too strong? The complaint were at night, and the problem of the spies that Ramban learns is the murmuring that was taking place at night in the tents, where the spies went around to the people afterwards, and that's where they started spreading the venom, and the tents, in the tents and at night, where those people start to talk, that's where the problems began, and that's where everything was. That's how the Ramban understands the flow of the psukim as far as this goes. Why was it they're specifically crying at night? Then they murmur that they should have died by the sword. That's where they're rebelling against Hashem, because the sword, that's your problem. How could you complain against the sword? You're not the one fighting this war anyway. Yeah.
I see something where, first of all, the spies all came back alive. They tell Moshe, you know, the land devours his people. And Moshe gives an account at the end. That's good. And he's like actually saying, oh, okay, the land is good, because obviously it's devouring our enemies. I see it almost as like he heard this information, and Moshe may have heard, like Rashi says, he heard two people's comments. He's speaking about Kalev and the other ones about, you know, the land is good. Mm-hmm. But I think he's really commenting on all of the report, because he heard what he heard, and he said the land is good. It didn't eat you, so obviously the land's good. It eats our enemies. It doesn't eat you. So I would be of the opinion that all 12 coming back, is that, therefore the land is
and
good.
And he interpreted that to be like a good thing.
Yeah, like he heard it, goes, okay, the land is good. And so that's not a problem to him. I mean, it's still good, as opposed to only two reports.
Yeah. Now, when Rashi says, I want to go back and fill in one other very interesting idea. When Moshe, on page 945, back in Devarim, when he records this and he says, you slandered in your tents and said, because of Hashem's hatred for us did he take us out of the land of Egypt. So Rashi makes a brilliant comment. That's a very strange claim to make.
Why did they say that?
Right? That the people should say that Hashem hates us and that's why he took us out to kill us? So Rashi makes a brilliant comment over here. If you want to follow inside, it's on the second column in Rashi, 5 lines down. Besinas Hashem el sonu hotzionim yeretz Mitzrayim. Moshe lemelech basar v'dam. I'm sorry, I want to read that one. The other one before, the 3 lines down. Besinas Hashem el sonu. For who are you oyev eschem? Well, you tell Hashem loves you. If there's any claim that you can make against Hashem, you cannot make a claim that he hates you. How could you say that? Says Rashi, Yaval atem sonim oso. You hate him. Mashal hejad omer. The way that we would describe this is madibili becha al rachamecha madilibe alach. What is in your heart on your friend, you put in his heart on you. Meaning you attribute and project that which you're feeling about him as to the way that he is responding to you, even though it's not true. But because you feel that way about him, you will respond and think and interpret that which he's doing to you in that same way. Says Moshe, you hate Hashem. That's why you're rebelling against him and you're saying you don't want to go into the land, you don't want to have to deal with any of this. And the way that that manifests itself is that when you interpret the spy's words and you say, Hashem hates us, and that's why he brought us here. A ridiculous thing to say. What that's doing, says Rashi, is it's really revealing what's going on inside your heart. That you are able to say such a thing like that, that it's because of Hashem's hatred of us, that he's done that, is really showing what's in your heart against him. That it must be in your heart you have hatred against him, that would be the result, that you would say such a thing. Which is a nice psychological insight, and a lot of times the way that we project and interpret things that are being done to us is really an insight in the way that we feel about the person doing what to us, more than what it is that they're actually doing to us.
These situations kind of disturb me. It's kind of weird because whenever they were leaving Mitzrayim and the Egyptians were behind them, and they asked Moshe the same thing. They said that did you take us out of Egypt so we could die? And
right.
They said the exact same thing. So it's like, and then they say something really weird. They said it would be better for us to serve the in Mitzrayim than it would be to die in the wilderness. That's such a powerful thing to say. I mean, is that, I could be wrong with that. In some ways, it seems like Lashon Hara is that intermingled in this at all? Because that's like the worst thing you could probably ever say.
I agree. No, the ultimate insight is that phrase of we need to appoint the leader and to return to Mitzrayim. And this is, as you said, is a theme that we see from this generation, this idea that somehow, which was last week, they said, we remember what's this mun we got to eat, we remember the wonderful melons and cucumbers and beautiful, delicious delicacies that we had in Mitzrayim. There's this general theme of going back to Mitzrayim, that things were somehow better there.
So it's like an ultimate slave mentality, basically.
Yeah, that's a phrase that's been introduced and used often.
Wow.
So, as we said, Rashi actually has an interesting comment on this idea in Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. They said to one another, let us appoint a leader and let us return to Mitzrayim. Rashi says, simple meaning is, Nasim Aleinu Melech. We need to appoint a new king upon us, because this leader we have in Moshe is not doing what we need. V'rabuseinu pirshu lashon avodah zarah. That is actually a language of idolatry. Of nit naroish. Of let us place a new head upon us. Is actually, and this is again that theme that we see, when there's this feeling of hatred of Hashem, of us not wanting to be part of that, what it manifests itself is in a sense of idolatry. You know, it's a complaint against the religion. We don't want these laws, we don't want these rules, we need some new form of idolatry. That's what we need in terms of being able to address some of these issues. And that's again a theme that we see often. Hey, Vayipol Moshe v'Aaron al Pneim lefnei kol kaladasi chos. So Moshe and Aaron's response to the people, they fall before the entire congregation of the assembly of the children of Israel. And then that's it. They don't say anything. So what does it mean when Moshe and Aharon fall before the assembly? They don't say anything, they just simply fall before him. How do we interpret that act of Vayipol Moshe v'Aaron al Pneim lefnei kol kaladasi Yisrael?
Usually, when they fall, they're
talking to God. So that would be one approach. So that would be that we would learn that what they were doing here actually had nothing to do. Even though the language is lefnei kol kahal adas Yisrael, that they are falling before the entire congregation of the assembly. That's not really what they're doing. They really happen to be davening in front of Hashem, and it happens to be in front of the assembly.
I think, Rebbe, you once mentioned that when we misbehave, it means our leaders have failed in a certain way. So here it was like this was an ultimate failure, so they fell. They were like there was a reflection on the leaders at some.
I did see somebody said that. Did I see that in the notes somewhere? I mentioned.
I remember you had actually said that once. That was kind of like Moshe couldn't hold the luchot because he saw what the people did. Therefore, his role was down too.
From Shem Shem Frol Hirsch, that's what you're saying. You know, that they fell as no longer having a position or ability to lead. The Ramban's comment is, they actually saw what the people were doing as they were talking to themselves about appointing a leader and going back to Mitzrayim. V'kamu ha-tzadikim, so these two righteous, Moshe and our individuals, v'shtachavu la'apam arza le'mor lehem, they were pleading and supplicating before the people, al no'achi teiro, don't do this evil thing, v'lo tzelochem le'puka, al kein omer lefnei kol kahal adasi. So that's why the Torah stresses that they were falling on their face before the entire assemblage of the people. Ki lohem ishtachavu alapayim. They were prostrating themselves before the people, praying and supplicating with them not to do it. Which is an interesting approach. That the Ramban is understanding here that it's not actually a prayer to Hashem for forgiveness or not to destroy the people, but that Moshe and Aaron respond before the people, bowing down before them, trying to beg and plead with them not to carry out the plans which they had just stated of, let's appoint a new leader and head back home to Mitzrayim. That Moshe and Aaron are pleading with them not to do so, but instead to be able to go back to Eretz Yisrael.
Question on the bathe on Yadalat. This is Vayilonu. What's the shortage of that word?
I think that's a good question, Vayilonu. Lina sometimes means to spend the night to sleep.
Yeah.
But it's certainly not translated that way here. Here it's a language of, to murmur.
Maybe it's like why you lied in your tent.
Certainly maybe it has something to do with the fact that those murmuring in the tents is the place where you sleep. And I'm not sure.
It just seems like a funny question.
Yeah. Language of to murmur, to complain.
Does Hirsch try to write that word there?
I'm sure. I would imagine. I don't have one in front of me here, so I don't know. All right, let's do a little bit more just to finish up this aspect. So Yeshua, the Torah then says, Yeshua benun v'kolad ben yifunam in ha-Torah mes'aretz karu bigdehem. So right now we have the people in the mass hysteria. They're planning on going back to Mitzrayim. Moshe and Aaron fall down on their faces in an attempt to plead with the people not to carry it out. And then our two positive spies, Yehoshua ben Nun and Kaleb ben Yefuna, they're ripping their garments as a sign of mourning, as literally ripping their clothing from them. Vayomru el kol adas b'nei Yisrael leimor, ha'oretz asher avarnu v'olosur oysa toivo ha'oretz me'od, me'od. And they say to the people, the land that we passed through, the land is very, very good. And they're trying to counter, obviously, the report of the spy, saying it is good and we could do it. Im chofetz banu Hashem, and they say, if Hashem desires us, He will bring us to the land and give it to us, this land that flows with milk and honey. Ach ba Hashem al timrodu. And they say it straight. What you're doing now is simply a rebellion against Hashem. Do not rebel against Him. V'atem al tiru esa'om ha'aretz ki lachmeinu heim. And they say an interesting thing. The people do not fear them. They are like our bread. We can eat them up. They're nothing. Kisar tzilom me'aleihem v'Hashem itonu al tiraum. Their protection has departed from them. Hashem is with them. Do not fear them.
Hashem is with us.
Oh, I'm sorry, with us. Thank you. Do not fear them. Interesting language. They are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. So Rashi makes two interesting comments on this. It says Rashi, "Ki lachmeinu heim ne'echolem kilachem." We could just eat them up like bread. Sar tzileim, their protection has departed. K'sherim shibohem mesu. Their protective ones, the righteous ones amongst them, have died. Iyov shehoyim magin aleihem. The character Iyov, which was protecting them, has died. So they no longer have any protection, so we will be able to conquer them. What does Iyov have to do with his protecting the Jewish people? For another time, we'll have to discuss that. Dover acher tzilo shel hamakum sar me aleihem. The image of Hashem so to speak, has removed, Hashem has removed their protection, their image of godliness has been removed, and therefore we will be able to easily conquer them. Much to say as far as very interesting responses from them, but the people have nothing to do with this. Vayomru kol ha'eda lirgoyim osam ba'avanim. People want to stone them. And then the appearance of Hashem ends all of this. All of a sudden Hashem appears, and then that's where we're going to have, this is that begins the second section of the story, as far as Hashem's desire to destroy the people, and Moshe is interceding on their people's behalf, saying, what are the people going to say back in Mitzrayim? What's going to be? And it can't be. But that's just that's for this middle section. In other words, there's really, like, I guess, three sections we could break this whole episode into. The spies coming back, what they said. Then we have the people's response, and then Moshe and Hashem's response to that. But this is a little bit of this middle section of the way that the people responded, which helps shed some light as to what the spies said. As the Ramban learns, from the people's response, we learn about what the spies did, that they said one thing in front of Moshe, and then later at night in front of the people, they said something else. Okay, I ended a little bit early today, but that's some of the things on this middle issue, middle section.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.